Mini-episode 712 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome, everyone, to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris. We have one of our favorite recurring conversational guests back with us today, somebody we love to talk a lot of different topics with, and we have over a long period of time. Today, we have him here to talk the 2016 Final Four. I speak, of course, of, as I say, good friend of the show, Evan Roberts from WFAN in New York, the Big 660 in NYC. You can follow him on Twitter, at Joe and Evan. He is part of course, the Midday Show, along with Joe Bonino. Midday's 10 to 1 Eastern Time, and because of these worldwide, these global times in which we live, WFAN.com. Listen to it anywhere or the radio.com app. Pleasure, as always, to bring him back in. So much to talk about these days. We got him back on the lines here. Evan Roberts from WFAN in New York. Evan, welcome back to the show, my man. Looking forward to having this conversation with you today.
Oh, you kidding me? This is what I look forward to every year. It's our annual discussion of all things wrestling, college basketball, and God knows what else comes up.
Well, yeah, you got it. A lot of different things going on right now. This is that time of year of a lot of overlap. Of course, we know the Final Four after this past weekend. We got the non-traditional one side of it on Saturday. It looked like it was going to go that way. Teams breaking through that we're not used to seeing in there necessarily every year, at least in recent years. Villanova and Oklahoma, both kind of harkening back to the 80s for some of their glory days. Looked like it was going to go 3-for-3 until Virginia choked against Syracuse. And then before you know it, we got a pretty traditional other side of the bracket with North Carolina and Syracuse. Syracuse not necessarily traditional in how they got here as a 10 seed. So how do you size up what is a very, very interesting Final Four that I got to believe almost nobody in America had 1 through 4 listed on their bracket?
Well, the Syracuse thing is insane. It's insane because, now, I thought they were a tournament team. Like, if you look at their resume, I did think they deserved to get in. And they ended up being, like, sixth in. So it wasn't like they made it by the skin of their teeth or anything like that. And they were helped out by the fact that the committee looked at Boeheim's suspension and said it's the equivalent of a star player being hurt, which was dopey. But Michigan State, who I know they were a two seed. I think everybody had Michigan State going to the Final Four in their bracket. I think they were favorites in Las Vegas. So to get the break of all breaks, not winning their first round matchup, that wasn't stunning. But the fact they don't have to play Michigan State and they take on Middle Tennessee, who, as great as they looked against Michigan State, they're Middle Tennessee State, they got a huge break. But the Virginia game, that was, it's a combination of choking, which Virginia did, and Syracuse obviously going on a great run where they didn't miss a shot, it seemed, for like 6 or 7 minutes. But them getting here, I know it's Syracuse, and that part isn't crazy because we've seen them here before. We saw them here in 2013 in the Atlanta Final Four. But this has to be one of the craziest runs we've seen. I think it's crazier than even the run UConn made a couple of years ago. Now, with that said, they're probably going to get slaughtered. I mean, let's be honest. North Carolina's better, and they're probably going to beat them up. They're a deeper team. They're a better team. But the fact that they're here and the fact that they came back on Virginia the way they did the other night, I think of all things, that's the story going into the Final Four. I think that's the biggest story going into the Final Four.
It really kind of is. I mean, that was a comeback for the ages. For somebody like me, not a big Syracuse guy, not a big Boeheim guy, as I look at it, again, I was very cynical about whether they belonged in the tournament in the first place, although I said ahead of time, I said, take them in the first round, because teams that you don't think should be there always joke through their first game, and they did joke through their first game and then subsequently built on that. But what do you say to people who kind of question them getting in based on the regular season? You took the other side of that view. I mean, is this one of these things where they have proven it retroactively by what they've done in the tournament, or do you think it still should be a different standard as far as what we thought at the time?
You know, it's funny. I remember when George Mason made their run in 2006, and in New York it was a big controversy because Hofstra didn't make it, and it was basically because of George Mason. And I remember one of the arguments that was brought up was, well, Hofstra beat him head-to-head. Isn't that, you know, shouldn't that basically be a tiebreaker for Hofstra getting in over George Mason? And then George Mason goes on this crazy run and gets to the Final Four. Just because you get hot at the right time, or in Syracuse's case, just because you get hot at the right time and also get, like, the perfect matchups, I don't think it means or proves, see, they belong. So I wouldn't even say that. The reason I thought – and I don't like Syracuse either, bro. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, their fans have to be some of the most annoying fans out there. And, like, everybody in the radio industry went to Syracuse, and they're going to remind you the orange and this and the – it's annoying. So I'm with you. I don't like Syracuse. I'm not sitting there rooting for them, but – here's why I thought they were a tournament team. When you look at their resume, and I get it, they lost to St. John's, all right? And I think Doug Gottlieb said it on the selection show, if you lose to St. John's, you probably shouldn't be allowed in the tournament. They beat A&M. They beat Duke on the road. They beat UConn. They had some pretty impressive victories along the way. So I get it that this isn't like a traditionally really good Syracuse team, but if you compare their resumes to like some of the other schools that were borderline, I think they have the impressive resume. I don't think we should hold them to a higher standard because they're Syracuse. And maybe that's what some people do where you say, yeah, they're Syracuse. Big deal. They beat Duke on the road. I know a bunch of teams beat Duke this year. But still, it's an impressive win. I thought they deserved to get in, but I don't think them going on a run now like proves that I was right or anybody else was right because anybody can get hot at the right time. George Mason showed that in 2006. So I thought they deserved to get in, and they've gotten a lot of breaks along the way. Though what's funny is they almost got the ultimate – non-break in the Gonzaga game when the officials can't review the out-of-bounds play when the kid had a clear steal. They say he's out-of-bounds. His foot's clearly not out-of-bounds, and it gave Gonzaga another possession. But, hey, they made a play, and they won. So I think they deserve to be here. And the bad news for them is they've had a great run, but you know as well as I do. They're going to get killed in the semifinals.
You got to think so. I think everything kind of points to that. And it's funny, you talk about games in the regular season this year and past years that you kind of look at. I'll tell you this, when we did our tournament preview show a couple weeks back, which included actually one of the occasional contributors to your show, Steve Callis, I made a point of saying I took Michigan State to go to the championship game. But I said, I remember a game back in December, and you talk about maybe playing down to the level of an opponent. This really bothered me. That game that they had against Oakland that I just happened to catch, not that I would normally tune into anything like that, I just happened to be in a sports bar when it was on, and I was transfixed. And I understand, you know, it's hard to get up for that team in your own state that gets up for you. But I said at the time, I wasn't even trying to hedge or anything, Evan, but I said, I wonder if that game tells me anything. I sure as hell wasn't thinking of the first round when I said that. But you got to wonder about that. And this Michigan State team, and they did have a tendency at times this year sometimes to look past what was right in front of them. And unfortunately for them, it bit them when it counted the most.
Yeah, I think one thing we've learned is that, like, watching regular season college basketball can be fun, especially for the teams that, you know, need to have signature wins to get in. But think back to that amazing Oklahoma-Kansas game, the game that went to double or triple overtime. What does it really mean as we sit here in March? What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. So I think sometimes maybe this is why filling out a bracket's very tough. The more you watch and the more you know, the less you know, because you think too much about everything you've seen throughout the year, and we think that that has anything to do with what team is going to get hot and play well at the right time. And usually it has nothing to do with it. I mean, North Carolina's there, and they're a very good team. They're an incredibly deep team. So you could say, well, hey, they showed you how good they were. But every year you're going to get stories that don't make sense. And Michigan State, forget about not getting to the championship game or getting to the Final Four. The fact they got knocked out right out of the gate could be maybe the most stunning thing we've seen in the first round of an NCAA tournament. And I know there have been some crazy upsets over the years, but Michigan State, like, you're an example of a lot of people thought they were going to go all the way. I figured, hey, they're a lock to get to the Final Four. And it just shows you that even, like, look, that game against Oakland, what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything, but it makes us overthink things, and the regular season usually has no bearing on it.
That's right. But here's an interesting thing, though. The only team that I got right out of the Final Four is I had Oklahoma making it this far. I had them losing to Kansas. I had Kansas going all the way. You mentioned that great Oklahoma and Kansas game. What would that game that they played tell us if they were matched up again on Saturday? I mean, it would work at least for looking at tendencies and things like that, yes?
Yeah, I think when you've seen a team before, you probably have a better idea on how to slow down a guy like Buddy Hield, right? So I think when you look at previous matchups, I think, yeah, getting to play against real good players, I think, helps in that way. But I don't even know if that really means anything because, look, we've seen basically a mini ACC tournament here during the during the last couple of days, right? And it continues with Syracuse, North Carolina, even though, by the way, I mean, does anyone really think of Syracuse as an ACC team? I still think of them as a Big East team. So you've got – and that's why I'd love to see, as much as I can stand Syracuse, if they're going to get there, Syracuse-Villanova, it's like a Big East game. Like, I'm all for that as a Northeast guy.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe a little bit when you see a team head-to-head, but – overall, March is so different than January, and it's so different than February, and teams play very, very differently than they did a month or two ago, especially a team like Syracuse. So I don't know what even that means.
Well, and unsurprisingly, you anticipated wonderfully another question I was going to have for you by bringing up Buddy Hield. This is the kind of thing where I look at the Final Four this year. Seems like it's a little bit of an outlier for this era. You've got a guy that a lot of people presently seem to have pegged going third in the draft, maybe. That kind of seems to be a consensus. And beyond that, really no other locks for the lottery part of the draft. And, again, in this era of loading up with the high school All-Americans the way that Calipari tends to do, the way that, Duke tends to do, such as when they won last year, is this year going to be looked at as kind of an outlier when we look back at it, that it's not going to be a very star-studded Final Four on paper? I mean, these are very good teams top to bottom, no question about it. Syracuse kind of questionable, as you said, as to whether they belong with the other three. But in terms of that megawatt star power, I would tend to think personally we may look back on this year as being sort of separate from some of the ones that came before and after it.
Yeah, absolutely. And this whole season's been like that. Think about it. I mean, from the beginning on, we've heard about Ben Simmons, how great. You got to watch Ben Simmons. Meanwhile, his team doesn't make the tournament. And I'm not trying to put that on him. I understand it's not. But when you start to think about, all right, well, if he goes number one, who is the last college player to go number one overall and his team not make the NCAA tournament? And it will make you cringe when you think about the answers. Michael Olowokandi. Not that Simmons is going to be Olowokandi, but the point is, you're right. You know, you look at this Final Four. If you're an NBA fan and you're looking to scout, there isn't as much to scout as there have been in years past. Buddy Hield clearly tops that list. But I think the whole season has kind of been like that. When you think about the best player in the nation, at least the guy who was consensus for a while as being the biggest and best NBA prospect, his team was a bubble team, and they really weren't even that much on the bubble when it was all said and done as far as making the tournament. So not only this Final Four, but this year in general I think has been an outlier where the guys who are most NBA ready and the guys that are going to probably be the big names in the NBA next year and the year after, their teams have not had a huge impact on this season.
That's an excellent point. You're right about that. It's not just isolated to the Final Four, but it's resembling the season landscape as a whole. That's absolutely right. I'd like to ask you a question, have you put on your media analyst hat, particularly as somebody who's under the CBS banner yourself. It's kind of an interesting thing to me. We've had Ernie Johnson on the show twice, a couple of years ago when he first mentioned it, a couple months ago when we talked about it again, the prospect that for the first time the championship game is going to be on TBS this year. What does that mean to Turner Sports? Conversely, what does that mean to CBS as far as having to give it up this year and any of the subsequent years in the contract?
I think as the years go by, what is on cable TV as compared to free TV is becoming less relevant. You know, there used to be a time where, oh, my God, this is on cable TV. Can you believe that an MLB playoff game is on cable TV or this or that? I think that especially a network like TBS, it's pretty much everybody has it. So I think it's less of a big deal. I mean, for CBS, obviously, you know, having the NFL is a big deal. Having the Masters is a big deal. I think not having the tournament championship, the NCAA tournament, is, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal for 1 year. But I think we're seeing it. I don't know when the NFL will get there because the NFL is the one sport that, when you really think about it, is exclusively on free TV. Even with the ESPN Monday Night Football games in your local market, they put it on free TV. But outside of that, you know, baseball has slowly moved in that direction. The NBA certainly has. I know the NBA finals still tend to be on ABC. So I think it just shows you that as the years go by, and who knows what the media landscape is going to look like 20 years from now. Maybe it won't even be on anything. Maybe it'll be on, like, some internet service. Like, we could be on the way to seeing that. So I think for 1 year it's not that big of a deal for CBS, but it just shows you that these big events can be on cable TV and it's not, you know, that big of a deal.
See, it's funny you mentioned the web, because what came to my mind when you were talking was I flash back to what happened last fall with the London game that the Bills were playing in and the outrage of all the people in Rochester. Apparently nobody in Rochester owns smart TVs based on the or smart-enabled TVs based on the uproar then. But is Internet basically where cable used to be, where people were going, I can't believe it's only available on there? Because from the uproar of a lot of people who couldn't watch a single crappy NFL game back in the fall here, and it was a pretty crappy game between crappy teams, you know, the outrage seemed disproportionate to the game itself there. Is that sort of like where we used to be with cable when people complain about accessibility?
Yeah, it's going to, you know, it's like anything. Anything where there's change or there's something different, it's going to take people time to get used to it. I think it's the future of TV. I mean, I know we're going to talk wrestling. I think when they went to the WWE Network, that's the future of where this is going to go. I know personally, like, between the sports I watch and the movies that are out there and TV shows, specifically TV shows, you could basically watch everything through the Internet. You know, a service like Hulu with, like, all the shows that that has and the various apps and, you know, I guess the one real negative with the sports is they still have blackouts, which is ridiculous. I think that's got to end soon. But I think it's going to take time. Like, it's obvious that, yeah, when they have this one crappy, and you're right, crappy NFL game on the Internet, people freak out, like, what the hell is going on? Give it time. I do think it's the future. I think that's going to – and I think it's beneficial to the customer, because think about it. Right now, you get cable TV, you really don't have an option of – you have different tiers, right? You can't, like, say, I want this channel, but I don't want that channel. You'll be able to do that with all the different Internet services they have for specific TV networks and shows and whatnot. So I think it's the future, but it takes time, like anything. And you're right. That was the same thing with cable TV. It just takes time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, again, this year's championship game being on TBS – is going to be something that, again, there will be some people crying about it, but like you said, not nearly what it would have been 10 years ago, 15 years ago, et cetera. Looking ahead to Monday night, my sense is North Carolina over Oklahoma. It's hard for me to kind of get a handle on this overall. Like you, I'm way more convinced North Carolina will be in the championship game as opposed to having a feel for the other one. But I'll say the Tar Heels over the Sooners. Do you have any kind of a sense right now?
I'm with you. I think North Carolina is easy because they're just the far superior team. You know, they're the deeper team. They're the better team. I think with Villanova, they do look like a team on a mission in that we looked at them as the opposite of Michigan State, the team that always gets picked off early, the team that always underachieves. And here they are in the Final Four. The thing that gives me hope for them, because I prefer it. Honestly, the Villanova-Oklahoma game, I like both teams, which is kind of the opposite of Syracuse, North Carolina. I think that the Villanova defensive performance that they put together against Kansas, especially on Perry Ellis, where they basically took him out of the game, he went 1-for-5, something like that, and Kansas turned the ball over all day. I think that defensive performance was very, very impressive. I'm not saying they're going to be able to slow down a guy like Buddy Hield, who basically puts up 30 on a nightly basis. But Nova does kind of seem like a team on a mission right now. So I'm not confident about it, but I would probably say Villanova-North Carolina national championship game.
That could be very interesting because, as you said, North Carolina could be vulnerable to that. They've had their moments this year of whether it be looking ahead, not being completely in sync, not completely being on top of their defensive game, et cetera. Yeah, if they catch a Villanova team that's on a mission and primed, like you're saying, that could make it really interesting. We shall see. Always great to break this down with you, Evan Roberts, whether it be talking Final Four, whether it be talking WrestleMania 32 week, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on. I look forward to chatting with you again.
Anytime, my friend. Have a good one.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. The great Evan Roberts, everybody, from WFAN in New York. And thank you for tuning in to this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.